Thank you. is the day the Creator has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us pray. Grant us, Creator God, to put wealth to use in relieving the suffering of others, so that we might hold fast to the love that endures. Through Jesus Christ, the wisdom of creation, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Amos. Fear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
From the sun born forever. A reading from the first letter to Timothy. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all that was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the one holy and living God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I got a sermon for you, but I'm also going to confess a little bit of fear here. I was already feeling nervous about the gospel, but then your first reader was at Gwyneth. When she stood up, I pretty much felt sort of the hailstones and fire raining down. So this is a morning, right? A morning of readings. Thank you, Gwyneth, I think. Some years ago, I witnessed a rather masterful preacher interpret this parable by cutting up her MasterCard right in front of the congregation and and then dropping the pieces in an offering plate. No one can serve two masters, she reminded us, while ceremoniously depositing shards of plastic. And the object lesson was, of course, both clever and shocking. I'll certainly never forget it. But there's a subsequent story that few in the congregation were ever made aware of. When I complimented Pastor Karen on the sermon privately much later, she told me that the dismembered credit card had been taken from the offering plate and used to make unauthorized charges. She didn't want to tell anybody about it, though, because she didn't want people in the congregation to be suspecting each other. Money. Money is so very messy, right? And if we take Jesus' parable from Luke 16 at face value, it seems to suggest that dishonesty in the service of covering one's own backside is a good thing. And then, after the parable concludes with the master commending the manager for cooking the book, so to speak, Jesus launched into a series of inscrutable and in some ways apparently contradictory teachings about faithfulness with dishonest and true wealth. Now, since this particular parable doesn't appear in other gospels, scripture scholars tell us that it's likely that in this 16th chapter, the evangelist Luke gathered up a disparate collection of Jesus' teaching about money into one. And surely he had a point in doing so, even if it may not be readily apparent to us. Now, I know that it's not readily apparent in the way that we clergy do, right, Pamela? Because there's a whole variety of contemporary interpretations. Some commentators suggest that the dishonest manager was commended for writing down the master's debtors because the debt was usurious, hence in violation of Jewish law, or perhaps because he forewent his own commission, both of which are surely possible, but they're not what the text says. So explaining it that way feels a little bit like trying to gaslight the elephant in the room, which is, duh, the manager's dishonesty. Why is this text so hard to interpret? Well, my friends, I might as well ask, why is life so hard to figure out? Every day is full of choices whose impacts we can never fully anticipate. It's entirely likely that when we try to behave as children of the light, as Jesus calls us to be, we'll end up being children of this age like the dishonest manager. Really, the only way to avoid this risk, so to speak, is to simply opt out of hard decisions about the resources we control or control on behalf of others. And that's no way to live. Some years ago, I was called to offer pastoral care for a very sick man who ultimately died. It was a tragic situation, both because he was rather young and because of his peculiar personal circumstances. He came from a very, very wealthy family that was also quite critical, evidently of him in particular. So even though he was in control of a fortune and a family foundation, he was unable to do anything with any of it. He was depressed, a hoarder, unable to make decisions about the use of his stuff, his time, or his money, because he was so afraid he'd make the wrong choice. He was both a master and a manager, but he couldn't do anything, good, bad, or indifferent, in either role. Which takes me back to this bewildering parable. Now, I'm not looking for a way to justify or excuse the manager's malfeasance, but I do find myself wondering if Jesus' point might have been something entirely different. Perhaps this parable is not so much about ethics as it is about eschatology. That is to say, it may be more about what we are becoming than what we're doing. Because, as you know, the entire witness of Scripture played out in the lives of masters, managers, slaves, soldiers, women and men, is an unrelenting call to become a community of stronger and deeper and more mutual relationship. Because God's own triune nature is revealed in relationship. Now, whatever else the dishonest manager's sins of omission or commission may have been, he did use the resources he had to invest in strengthening relationships. Jesus said, make friends for yourself, and he did. Maybe he did it in the right way, maybe he did it in the wrong way. The parable actually does not make it clear how we are to judge his choices, just as it's mostly never clear how we are to judge our own. Here's the good news. That's not our job. In the fullness of time, we'll either be commended by God or our sins will be covered by God's infinite mercy. Now you at St. Martin's, you are making choices right this very moment in favor of really exciting ministries. You're committed to providing opportunities for everyone at St. Martin's to deepen their spiritual journeys, to making this a place of real belonging, safety, and connection. And these are not divergent priorities. All of us grow and flourish best in settings where we're known and cared for. Pamela's also told me that you will renew your commitment to carbon reduction and climate resilience. And I know that for St. Martin's, this is not some kind of special boutique ministry. Environmental sustainability is integral to creating safety and well-being for all created beings. These endeavors put you right square in the role of God's manager. And so, taking a cue from this parable, I hope that as you live into your mission, you will be courageous in building relationships with those already present here, with those who long to be part of this community but just don't know it yet, with those in the surrounding community who need your compassion, and with generations yet to come, and those who may never profess Christianity but will meet Christ through you. Returning to the contemporary parables, the misused MasterCard and the misguided heir, let me remind you of what you already know. Money is really, really messy. I suspect we all feel some mixture of confusion and inadequacy when it comes to our giving, spending, saving, and investing, if we are wealthy enough to do so. Maybe I won't project that on you. I feel all that. May we hold our money fears and hopes in the balance of humility, because we actually don't know what we don't know when it comes to our household finances and the global economy. But we always can, and indeed we always should, check in with our hearts and our histories, what we know from how things have worked in the past for us, and ask ourselves about what kind of giving really feels faithful, good, and yes, generous. Myself, a little bit of stock taking here, I've never felt bad when I've used my resources to build relationships, to build community. So it happens that every week my husband and I bring food to an ESL, that's English as a Second Language, class in Oakland in the Fruitvale District that I help teach to immigrant Guatemalans. We actually go to the Mexican grocery store across the street and pick up a huge pan of tacos. It's Taco Tuesday, right? I sometimes question the money I spend on Amazon. Actually, most of the time I question the money I spend on Amazon, but I never ever question the value of that weekly trayful of tacos. I may put both expenses on the same MasterCard, but I'm pretty confident that one of them is a more accurate reflection of my true wealth. It's my better choice, and my heart already knows it. And I think that your hearts already know your better choice, too. So let me challenge you to make that better choice. Choose generosity, choose inclusion, choose sustainability. But really, the only way you can make a wrong choice is by not making a choice at all, like that poor gentleman who died with his family foundation intact. You know, there's another parable of Jesus, the parable of the talents recorded in Luke and Matthew's Gospels, in which the greatest sin is failing to put the master's resources to use. It seems that Jesus wants us to know that it's okay to use our resources in all sorts of ways, just so long as we don't bury them. So, I have the unique privilege this day to bless you at St. Martin's as you embark upon even more courageous investments in ministry. And here's my counsel to you. Be brave. Siblings, brothers, and sisters, don't bury the riches entrusted to you. You cannot serve God in wealth, Jesus tells us, but you can absolutely use your wealth to serve God's beloved creation and people, and indeed, you must. Let's hear a rousing amen.
Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. We pray for St. Martin's clergy, staff, and ministry leaders. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. We pray for the passage of local, state, and federal laws that will strengthen and protect our communities, treating everyone as children of God. Lord, in your mercy, give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. We pray for reconciliation with the earth and all God's creatures during this season, and we recommit to working for peace with creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. We are grateful today for our vestry, our Buildings and Grounds Committee, and all who take such good care of our parish. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list.
Lynn and Carol.
Lord, in your mercy, we commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, grant that your people may have in them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, and guide us into the harmony of relationship through loving kindness and the wise use of all that you have given. For you are drawing all things into communion with you and with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. We have a couple of different people giving offerings of various kinds this morning. So I want to start with the person doing our announcements, your vestry member, Jim Jordan.
Good morning. I'm Jim Jordan. I'm a second year vestry member. St. Martin's, you know, is a vital and growing congregation. And I invite you to read through the yellow sheet about our many activities. And if you really want deep reading, read the further announcements that are online on our website. I am going to mention a few of the things. We are a vital and growing congregation because of your stewardship, time and talent, and financial resources. And we thank you. The yellow sheet details our season of stewardship-related activities, starting today with our guest preacher. Thank you. And with the Continental Breakfast and Forum that will follow here in the sanctuary following this service. You've also have received or will be receiving the stewardship packet, and we invite your consideration of that seriously and prayerfully. Later today, there will be an Interfaith Sun Day, an event celebrating solar power, creation, and the autumnal equinox, starting at 5th and B Streets at 2 o'clock. Next Sunday, we'll continue stewardship season with a full breakfast at 9. We'll be taking optional photos for a new photo directory at that time. The following Sunday will be the blessing of the animals. The vestry has suggested a motto for the year: welcome, known, and loved. One opportunity to become known is the place at the table, dinner at the Bamforce on Friday, October 3. Places are available, and check with the office about that. UC Davis is back in session. The Episcopal Lutheran Campus Ministry, the Belfry, will kick off its program year on Thursday between 5:30 and 7. We are welcome to greet the UC Davis community and invite them to worship at St. Martin's. We are also invited to join Reverend Pamela and Eve Lowe in the memorial service for David Lowe, Reverend Pamela's father, at 3 on Saturday, September 27. There will be a reception following. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. And we have Carla Harris, who is our Altar Guild chair, is going to be sharing some information and insight about her ministry. And this is the first of what we hope will be monthly offerings of people giving us a little more insight into what they do. So welcome, Carla.
Good morning. I'm Carla Harris, and I've been here at St. Martin's for more than 30 years now. And over those years, I've done many jobs here in the congregation, worn many hats. But the one that has stayed and filled my heart the most is Altar Guild. I was first approached for Altar Guild by a dear friend who asked me, did I like to do laundry? And I thought it was a rather odd question. And she said, well, do you like to iron? And I said, well, yes, you know, I do. It's kind of an excuse to watch TV. So she said, I have a job for you. And she hooked me up with doing the altar linens. And from there, I just became a regular member of the Altar Guild team. And now I'm the chair of the Altar Guild. So, but you know, what's important to Altar Guild for me as an introvert is that it's something that I can do that is of great service to the congregation. Our altar always looks beautiful when you enter in for services, and just think about how it would look if things weren't quite right. It wouldn't be the same welcoming feast that you are coming to. And that's how I see setting the altar. I'm setting the altar for a great feast, where we're preparing to be fed in our souls by the bread and the wine. When I was young and I first learned about the body and blood of Christ, I was kind of grossed out by it, you know. But I've grown into that concept, and now I really enjoy the filling of my soul with the spiritual gifts that are offered to us in the Eucharist. Altar guild is an easy job. You serve once a month. There's various things that we can do. We are not all women. We do have men on the altar guild, and we welcome men, women, young, old. One of the ways that you can help is by doing laundry. If that none of those are your things, you could polish the brass. There's ways for you to help if you're interested. It's a very behind-the-scenes kind of quiet ministry. I thoroughly enjoy being alone in the church to look up at our glorious window and see the light shining through. As I place the elements on the altar, sometimes you can see the reflection of the window in the silver and in the brass, and sometimes in the wine as you take communion. So I invite you to become a participant in this ministry. It's a great ministry for introverts. There's no extra meetings. You serve once a month. It's really a wonderful way to feed your soul and become more connected with our church here. We have a beautiful sacred space, and I invite you to spend time in this sacred space. Thank you.
Yes, thank you to Carla and to everyone who participates on the Altar Guild. We really have a lovely crew of people who do that. And we are working something I wanted to just point out is that in our bulletins, we are trying to reincorporate, you know, so many things changed during COVID, and some of them we remembered to change back and some we didn't. But we're trying to remember to include more of under the liturgical ministers, more of the people who are doing these sometimes behind the scenes jobs. So you'll see now, in addition to listing, for instance, who does the flowers for that week, we are also putting in things like our godly play leaders and who was in charge of Altar Guild that week. So just little ways to try to raise up those ministries and remind one another of how many people are involved in doing all of this good work. I'll just reiterate one thing that was said during our announcements, which is that after church today, we'll have the church service will end in the normal way. We'll have a closing hymn. We'll process out, some of us. And then all of you are welcome to go into the narthex to grab a snack, something to drink. There won't be a separate coffee hour, but there's like a continental breakfast there, and you're welcome to bring it back inside here. We won't worry about spills. It'll be fine. And then to be here to participate in the adult forum as Julia gives us some good food for thought, I am sure, about stewardship and just stories of generosity that I'm really looking forward to. There's also one hands-on activity. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You've got to stick around for that. So that's what's happening after church today, in addition to all the other cool things we have going on with our stewardship campaign. Okay, so now we are at
Celebrations and milestones. Of which we have quite a few, thanks be to God. So to begin with, this week, was it the 17th?
Yes.
17th was Pamela's 8th anniversary as our rector, so thanks be to God for that. Other celebrations and milestones, Diane Bamforth celebrated a birthday this week, I believe.
Yes, Friday.
And I hope I have this right, Susan Kozlerich, was it a birthday? Yes. And the birthdays of twin granddaughters and the anniversary of daughter and son-in-law.
Wow.
So happy times great. In your family.
Yeah.
That's what I have, but there may be others. Oh, Carol has one. Carol and James.
James.
My birthday tomorrow.
Woo! Birthday tomorrow! Aww! Yay! Anyone else? For once, I have my trusty microphone.
Okay, a birthday Tuesday. Excellent, excellent. Yes. Oh, how lovely. Your brother got married. Oh, how sweet. I love hearing that. Thank you for sharing that celebration. Okay, did I catch everybody? Great. So page 5 is, well, we had a birthday. We had a child born. Yes, yes. Is that what you're referring to? Okay. Sometimes I need Neil to translate Neil to help me out just a little bit. Okay. So no, I don't turn to Carol for that. All right. So if we turn to page 5, our prayer for celebrations and milestones is one we say together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have communion at the altar rail. If you weren't here last week, you didn't hear the announcement about how it's a free-for-all now. No, you get to just stay on the side where you're seated. Come forward, and instead of picking sides based on how you like to receive communion, you will have a choice once you get to the altar rail. So you'll wait for the usher to show you that it's time to join us at the altar rail. You can stand or kneel as you are able and comfortable. And then when the priest hands you your piece of the bread, then you can either consume that and wait for the chalice to come along and sip from the chalice, or not. That's option 1 and 1A. Or option 2, you can hold on to the bread, and when the chalice comes along, you hand your piece of bread back to the person who is holding the chalice. They will intinct it for you and hand it back to you. It sounds complicated. It's really not. It's much easier to do than to talk about. And so if you're not sure, it's okay to say something to the person who is offering you communion, to ask for a little guidance. It's okay to watch the person next to you, and we'll figure it out together as we go along. I also wanted to say that we have ushers in the back who have goodie bags, our welcome bags. And if you are new here or new-ish or visiting for the first or second time and you haven't received a goodie bag, raise your hand. We won't embarrass you, but we need to be able to know who you are so that we can hand you a bag that has some information and some chocolate in it. And if chocolate doesn't get you to raise your hand, then I'm out of tricks. That's all I got. So please let us know if we can give you a goodie bag so we can welcome you and keep in touch. Okay, did I forget anything?
No.
I just was wondering if we could clarify about communion. It's helpful if people leave the bread in their hand rather than hanging on to it if they want to intinct.
Ah, okay.
Because the Eucharistic minister will be the one doing the intincting.
So they're just holding it, you mean, sort
yep.
of as
keep
a
it in your
signal.
Hand.
As
yes.
a, to let the Eucharistic minister, the person with the wine, know. If you're sitting there with the bread in your hand, then they're going to get the hint, probably. So, okay. Thank you for that, Margaret. I'm not always so good at describing logistics. It's like, you just do it and we'll figure it out together. All right. Walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
The Creator be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Creator.
Let us give thanks to our loving God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Praise and thanks are yours, our creating God. From the dust of the earth, you shaped human beings in your own image, and you filled the earth and seas and skies with a myriad of wonders. Yet we consistently turn your generosity into our scarcity, your elegance into our meanness, and your simplicity into our corruption. Though we poison and destroy your good creation, you continue to offer us your abundance. In your mercy, you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus, transforming death into life. Through the Spirit, you continue to call us into covenant with you for the restoration of creation and the reconciliation of all people. And so we give you thanks, rejoicing with all of creation as we join the saints and angels in their unending hymn. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks to God. He broke the bread, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He took the wine and gave thanks to God, Creator. He gave it to his friends, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for all creation for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink of the wine, do this in remembrance of me." So we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Merciful God, we come to this table seeking reconciliation with you, with one another, and with all creation. Through these mysteries, reconcile us to our world and empower us to restore your creation and fulfill your will. Send your life-giving Spirit upon us and upon this bread and wine, that it may be for us the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Stir in us the creative and redeem the destructive. Heal your stricken world, that the soil, the skies, and the seas may be filled with your life anew. Fill every heart with the sure and certain hope that we shall enter into the fullness of your joy, when your whole creation is justified by faith and sanctified by love, and you are all in all. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, everlasting God, now and forever. Amen. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo.
Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please rise for the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Deep peace, pure white of the moon to you. Deep peace, pure green of the grass to you. Deep peace, pure brown of the earth to you. Deep peace, pure gray of the dew to you. Deep peace, pure blue of the sky to you. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.